Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Signal Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Jessica Outram. You've written two plays, Jessica, and had both produced. What inspired you to write for the stage? And can you tell us a little about your playwriting and what you specially enjoy about this form?
Sure. So I first came to the stage as a performer. I was a drama teacher. I was directing some shows for the high school that I was working at. And a local theater company in the Durham region had invited me to direct some one-act plays. And it was the first time I had directed adults in a show. And while I was sitting there watching the performances night after night after night, I thought, you know what? I could do this. I could write a play. And so I did. I went home and I started working on a play. And within about a month and a half, it came out quite quickly because I had had a lot of experience in the theater. I had my first draft done of my script. And then from there, it went through a new play development process where the company put on a staged reading of the show. So they brought in some actors who rehearsed it. They read the play for audiences over two nights and collected feedback. And then I took that feedback over the summer and then applied it to the show. And then from there, the director decided, you know what? Yeah, let's do this and let's put this up. So that was called Once Upon a Rocking Chair. And it was about three mothers who are sisters and their three daughters who all go to the cottage for Girls Week, which was based on a family tradition for us, where my mom and my aunts would go with my cousins, and we did that for years, and we just all spend a week together at the cottage. So it's not true to life, but it is inspired by life. Mm. The show did really well, and when it was finished, I'd always admired the work of Thompson Highway and the work that he had done with the Rez Sisters and Dry Lips Ought to Move to Kappa's Casing, and I loved how they featured the women and the men of the same community. So I thought, I need to write a play now about the men of the family. And again, it's not lifelike, but inspired by the setting and different traditions. So I wrote one page of Hunt Week and went to the director and said, or the artistic director, and said, listen, I've got this idea. And he says, fantastic, write it over the summer. We're going to open our next season with it. So then in 2008, I had two plays produced, and it was really quite wonderful. And I had the opportunity to be able to direct them as well. And then from there, really got to explore what being a playwright is all about. And I hope to get back into it one day, now that I'm learning better how to balance work and life. Get that back on track, because it's fun.
You got the idea with incidents you remembered and wove them together, or the characters, or how did that?
Well, with the women, it started with the characters and the archetypes. So I realized, you know, among the younger generation, I had a cousin who was a mom and went to work, and I had a cousin who was a mom and stayed home, and then there was me who wasn't a mom and... So I kind of liked that contrast. And then I also liked the contrast among the sisters and how we had various choices that reflected and how that looked different across the two different generations. So I thought it was interesting to explore what does happily ever after look like for women in their 20s and 30s versus what does it look like for women in their 50s and 60s? Mm-hmm. Because it looks very different, and it's something that both sets of women really, really aspire to. So it was inspired by the people, but more so the archetypes that they represented.
Yes. So directing and mentoring, besides acting and singing, all seem to be an important part of your life. Will you be doing more theatre in the future? I mean, apart from writing, you said you'll get back to writing for it.
Yes. Yeah, I hope to. I had the pleasure of being in a Voss production of On the Rooftop fall. And then in the spring, I have the pleasure of being in Shrek the Musical. And that has just been absolutely wonderful. So I think now that I'm feeling more settled in Coburg and more settled in the area, I'm hoping to do more theater as opportunities present themselves. And absolutely, I do hope to be writing for the theater again.
So just before you begin to read in the second part of Butch Bingo, why do you like to teach writing? You have such a busy life, and yet you're currently teaching an 8-week course, I believe.
Yes, I am teaching eight months worth of workshops. So it's one workshop a month over 8 months. And it has been fantastic. When I became a vice principal, I knew that part of what would make me a good vice principal was balancing my artistic creative life with my more serious problem solving supportive work life. And I really need that outlook. And I love to teach. I absolutely love to teach. So this year, a goal of mine was to create some opportunities to be able to teach. And my favorite teaching was teaching writer's craft. I taught writer's craft at the high school level for about 10 years and just lots and sometimes up to three sections of it within a year. So that's like 90 writing students in a year. So I really miss that. So at the Trent University Oshawa campus, I've been doing a workshop every month on all of my favorite aspects of writing and have really been honing my skills as an educator as well. So it's been really rewarding and wonderful and something that I hope to continue because that's where I get my energy from.
Okay, would you like to read the second part of Porch Bingo for us now?
I absolutely would love to. Mum and I picked up Nancy on the side of the Brit Road on Thursday night. We drove south on Highway 69. We turned at the big inlet turnoff. The Magnetawan Community Center sparkled with newness. No cigarette smoke. The mosquitoes stayed outside. But there was no Queen of the Brit Legion bingo. No Christmas countdown. Just serious bingo. My cousins came to the Magnetawan bingo one summer. Sarah and Andrea were naturals. Laurel's dramatic panic to keep up with the caller made me snort. But it was Chantel who called a false bingo. We needed to get one line to win. Someone called, "Bingo!" "Are there any other bingos?" the caller asked. "Are there any other bingos? Are there any other bingos?" Bingo closed. Next, we needed to get two lines. The caller said, "N33." Chantel shouted, "Bingo!" Aunt Pat mouthed a slow motion, "No!" It was too late. "We have a bingo," the caller said. A young girl with hot pink Crocs skipped over to check Chantel's card. "No bingo! False alarm!" Aunt Pat called. Chantel squished her eyes closed. She needed N33 to get one line. To win this game, she needed to get two lines. "It's a bad bingo," the girl shouted. In 2005, Mum decided to set up an annual summer bingo game on the porch at our cottage. We called it Porch Bingo. Mum, the shyest one of the group, picked the role of bingo caller. "Before, not be after," Mum calls. She wears a bejeweled tinfoil crown. She holds up a bingo ball. Our laughter travels out the windows to Georgian Bay. Auntie Anne, Laurel, Jamie, Nat, Aunt Estelle, Sarah, Andrea, Aunt Pat, Chantel, and I compete for the jackpot. Yellow markers, bingo cards, party snacks, and wine glasses cover the tables on the porch. G40! 40! We shout. I-17, Dancing Queen! Mum calls. "Bingo!" Chantel squeals. We laugh. "Are you sure this time?" Andrea asks. "Are there any other bingos?" Mum asks with a flat voice. "Are there any other bingos? Are there any other bingos?" Bingo closed. Chantel reads out the numbers on her winning card. "That's a good bingo," Mum proclaims. Chantel takes the tinfoil crown from Mum and places it on her head. She selects a prize wrapped in green paper from the laundry basket and tears it open to find frog-shaped salt and pepper shakers with googly eyes. Aunt Estelle snaps a picture of Chantel beaming at her prize. We clear our cards. Mum puts the balls back in the spinner. "Next game, postage stamp, any corner." "What's that?" Jamie asks. She just turned 16. It's her first porch bingo. "Four squares together in a corner like a stamp on an envelope," I reply. It's 2011. We play porch bingo whenever my aunts and cousins are in Brit. Mum and I go to the bingo at the Magnetawan Community Center a couple times a summer. We still split our winnings.
That was lovely.
The end.
Thank you, Jessica. Such a fun piece. Where can people buy From the Cottage Porch?
Currently, they're available online on my website, www.sunshineinajar.com. Okay. And we're in our second printing. Yeah. And I just, with working, I haven't had the time to canvas all the shops.
Well, say the website again for people.
www.sunshineinajar.com.
Great. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview for future programs to wordonthehills@gmail.com. And thanks to Jessica for coming in to talk to us, and thanks to you for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.